I'm very pleased to welcome Fremantle Shipping News, Craig Thompson. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Michael.
We're in the fabulous West End of Fremantle.
The West End of Fremantle.
It's not the greatest place.
It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's improved substantially after the America's Cup and now with Notre Dame University, because some of the old buildings were going to rack and ruin, but now it's probably one of the best places to work in the whole of Western Australia.
And you work here?
I do.
And you hang out, if I can put it that way, at 10 Phillimore Street, mm-hmm. running a business. Tell our listeners what that business is and how long you've had it.
It's a shipping services business. In fact, I think we are the leading privately owned shipping services business in the Southern Hemisphere. I started in 1998, having cut my teeth way back in 1976 as an office boy, working for a company called Union Bulk Ships here in Fremantle. And in fact, I started in the building that I now have my company. So that's February 76. So I've just racked up 50 years of active service in the shipping, if you like. I did have a stint working for the Farmers of West Australia as well. I was their initial chartering manager. There's a company called the Grain Pool of Western Australia, which was a sister company with CBH, Cooperative Bulk Handling. And now they're all part of the same organisation. So I was their inaugural chartering manager and also become their leading trader for grains and oilseeds. So floated around the world 3 or 4 months a year, had two young children and decided that was a bit too much. So we sold the house, had a few dollars collateral, and we started C Corp in September 1998.
Well, it's a great story, Craig, and you are so cemented into Fremantle. And
I was born in East Fremantle and went to South Fremantle Senior High. So I've got no option but to barrack for the Dockers, of which I'm a passionate supporter.
Well, if you look on the Fremantle Shipping News today, the 1st of April, you'll see that apparently the City of Fremantle have gone down and painted the lawn at South Beach both green and purple. getting in advance. Yeah. But Craig, we're here because you have a bit of a shipping line. It seems to have TSL in front of it, Thompson Shipping Line, and you've just acquired a new vessel.
That's correct.
What's the name of this new vessel?
TSL Lusaha. Now, Lusaha is the three first letters of my sons, Luke, Saul, and Harry. And the first vessel, of course, was named after the good woman, the lady behind me, Rosemary. So keeping it in the family.
Each one is TSL, Rosemary, the existing one, TSL, say it again.
Lusaha.
So tell me what each of these vessels does, where they go, how long they're away, and all of that.
Right. Well, the TSL Rosemary is a general cargo bulker, whereas the TSL Lusaha is a bulker / logger. So it can take log cargoes out of Australia, New Zealand, or Canada, or wherever. So they are actually trampers. So there's no set port coverage. It's not like a container ship that goes to specified ports along a dedicated route. We just pick up cargoes as they come along. It's a bit like the old days in the sailing ships, except in those days the captain was also a trader. So we just float around and pick a cargo up. I mean, the Rosemary over the last few months, she was in the Caribbean. Then she headed down to Mexico and picked a cargo up for Canada. Then we loaded another cargo out of Canada to South Korea, grain. And then she'll be, we're in negotiations now, and she'll probably take a Petco cargo down to Australia.
Amazing, truly amazing, Craig. It sounds like, in a sense, a shipping version of Uber. The vehicle picks you up here in the West End, it goes to Rockingham, drops someone off, picks up a new fare. You sort of pick up work as you go, as a tramper.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
And how long have you, in that sense, been tramping? Was it tramping at the beginning?
Yeah, always tramps. All the bulk carriers tramp. I mean, if you look at iron ore, for instance, maybe you have dedicated vessels running from the Pilbara through to Chinese main ports. But normally a bulker will just tramp around. We know well and truly in advance of where the ship's going to end up at the discharge port and roughly when she'll complete. So we start circulating our vessels in the market about 10 days prior, look at all the options and decide where we want to go, because there's two basins of shipping, one's called the Atlantic, another the Pacific. Certain times of the year, the Atlantic's stronger than the Pacific and vice versa. So we make decisions on where we want to go in order to get to the better paying markets in the future.
So do each of those two vessels tend to spend more time in one region or the other?
Well, it's funny. It flips over from time to time. Sometimes we have to ballast, that means to keep the ship empty, ballast from the West Coast India through the Suez Canal to go to Europe because it's a hotter market there, and then we want to head down to South America. So, it's horses for courses at the time.
It's brilliant that you run that business out of Fremantle, this old seaport with its own great history.
Plenty of history.
Just before we started, we're talking about the famous US whaler, the Catalpa, which 150 years ago, this Easter Monday, spirited away six Fenian political prisoners from Fremantle and took them to New York.
But it's incredible, isn't it?
It's an incredible story. Yeah. But ships have always been coming and going here. CYA Connor modified the port arrangements at the end of the 1890s. Your ships, do they make it to Fremantle, or do they usually
We've been to Fremantle and Geraldton and Geelong and Port Lincoln and what have you. So they do float around. So that they, grain is one of our major cargoes. And with the connections I have in Australia, it makes sense to be around here. We also operate other ships. So whilst we own two ships, at any given time, we'll have five or six ships that we are running around with time charter, and we will tramp them around as well.
Right. And do they all have TSL then?
No. We don't own those ships. We just operate them. So we take them a long-term lease or short-term.
Well, I can imagine this at different times would be a great job to have. You'd say, I think I'll go off and be at each port that each of our ships are landing at, where they're tying up. You'd get to see the world.
You would.
Now, what about the international situation at the minute? The Red Sea, the Gulf, Hormuz, those places. Is all of that affecting your shipping as well as everybody else?
Well, it has affected it. I mean, I need to go back a little bit later on, and with the Houthis and the Red Sea, with them bombing that area. So that effectively closed off the Red Sea. And that means that we have a thing called a metric called ton miles. So if you can't go the shortest possible journey, you've got extra days, which takes more available ships out of the market. So instead of cruising through the Suez Canal, go all the way around the Cape of Africa. So that's positive for a ship owner view, not so good for the people that want the freight. So we have had that situation, and now at the Strait of Hormuz, it's most definitely causing some issues, because the major focus is on oil and LNG, but there's a significant amount of fertilizers and other products coming out of that area. So it's not good for the cost of freight, and of course the bunkers, the fuel costs. The ship owners will get a bump as we're talking now, but of course there's some more other issues at play, and probably we're going to see a recession out of this. So we'll see the shipping going into the doldrums, I would expect, because shipping is cyclical.
They're tough times. We can't pretend otherwise, and we all sort of hope and pray that things will resolve themselves soon. In terms of the crew on your two TSL ships, what are the numbers, and where do you crew from?
Yeah, we have 22 or 23 crew members on board. You have a complement of engineers and captains and officers, plus the crew. So typically we will either have Indian or Sri Lankan officers and engineers, and Filipino crew. And they'll be on swings between 4 and 6 months.
In acquiring the new ship, which has brought us together particularly, because I think it's fabulous to hear about that, one assumes the answer to the question, how come you've acquired this new ship, is that business demanded it.
Well, indeed, but we also wanted to strategically be able to play in both basins at any given time. So it makes perfect sense to have a minimum of two that we own and 3 to 5 that we're operating at any one time.
Craig, I know what to do in Fremantle. If I want to go and buy a house or a pair of shoes, I go to the appropriate outlet. I talk to a real estate agent if I want the house.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a ship, what do you do?
Oh, there's sales and purchase brokers in the world that specialise in that business, just like there's ship brokers for cargo and time charter of vessels. So it's a very sophisticated market. I mean, a lot of people don't really understand that around about 98% of all freight handled in the whole world is by ships. So it's an industry that's so important, especially a place like Australia. You know, we're just net exporters of bulk commodities and the biggest in the world. So we've got to have shipping. And unfortunately, successive Australian governments have not supported shipping in Australia. I mean, it'd be my pleasure to have my vessels home ported in Fremantle. But that would mean we would have to put Australian crew on board. Our ships wouldn't be able to do that because Australian crew members demand their own cabins, whereas we have, and toilets, but we have, our people have their own cabin, but they share a toilet. And we're competing on the international world. Whilst I say we do come to Australia, that would be about 10% of our business. So we could not compete in the open world if we had a complement of Australian seafarers. And there's no tax breaks. It's just a pity. All the governments talk about how they're going to support Australian shipping and nothing gets done. And I've been in the game 50 years. I've seen it all, you know.
Driven by the cost factors you mentioned.
Yeah, when I was working for Union Bulk Ships, the local company, we were a manning company. So we manned all the BP tankers, Shell tankers, the cement carriers, et cetera, et cetera. And it effectively put everybody out of business. There's hardly a ship around the coast anymore. There's the odd one, but we just can't compete anymore.
Well, I can remember as a kid hearing about the state ships in Western Australia.
Yes.
In fact, my grandfather, I've got the painting at home, a lovely watercolour of the Perthshire, uh-huh, which plied up and down the coast. So where
are you? Well, we actually, just on that, we actually ran state ships on behalf of the Western Australian government for a number of years.
Oh, I love it.
Between 2005 and 2009.
Oh.
And they asked us to extend that, but I don't have the patience working for the bureaucrats. It's too difficult.
We might be back into a new era with all politicians starting to agree we need more Australian operated and owned things, but we'll find out, I suppose. Mm. Your two own vessels, where are they in the world at the moment? In what seas?
Yeah, the TSL Rosemary is at anchor just off Busan in South Korea. I guess that's the Sea of Japan, perhaps. And the TSL Lusaha, we haven't got her yet. She's being delivered to us at the end of April or early May, somewhere between Sri Lanka and Japan.
Well, folk listening to this can also have a look on the website where the story is, and I'll put up images from the ship tracking apps showing just where the two of them are at the moment.
Yeah.
And you'll also discover, well, they will, won't they, when they look at the ship tracking image, just how many vessels there are on the open seas, to make your point earlier.
Oh, it's incredible. It really is.
I mean, you can't see the water for all of the ships, blue, red markers, all of them.
Well, you just need to go to Singapore, don't you, and look out the hotel window to see how many's just around that little area there.
Yes, every time I go into Singapore on a plane, you look down and you can't believe it.
Yeah.
You think about Fremantle, if we have 6 vessels out in gauge range, we think we're doing a lot of business.
Yeah, but you know, Singapore's blessed because of its geography. It's right at the Malacca Straits, and most of the vessels that are there are bunkering. So fueling up, ready to go on the next assignment.
So what's the future? Is there sort of any vision that you can share with us? What happens with Seacorp?
Well, I've got 2 sons in the business, which is really positive, and I've got an outstanding team of people. We, on our ship agency business, our major customer is Fortescue. So we're looking after all of their vessels, both in Port Hedland and also throughout the 32 ports in China. We're marine surveyors as well, and we're outturn managers for iron ore exporters in China. So we've got a really good base of business, plus vessel operating and the ship ownership. So got plenty going on. I'm 65 now, I've been in the game 50 years, but I'm still very happy to work. I don't come to work every day, still do my minimum 40 hours or 50 or 60, but I'm more than happy to continue for a while and ride the wave, as they say.
Craig, it's been really lovely talking to you about this acquisition.
Sure.
A lot of Fremantle people are really pleased to know that this Fremantle-based business that you've created, you've been in it 50 years, is doing so well. I mean, you are just so embedded in everything you've described. I'm guessing that your wife, Rosemary, checks the ship tracking devices each morning, does she, to see where Rosemary is?
Not exactly, but she was very pleased to have gone on board the ship a few times and been made a fuss of, so she's doing good.
Did you get to crack a bottle of expensive French champagne?
Well, we did do that, yeah. Yeah.
Craig, thanks very much for joining me today to talk about your acquisition, and congratulations.
You're most welcome, Michael. Thank you.